Welcome to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, just a guy who's trying to live a great life and learn the best way to live it. This show is for the everyday human being that feels exactly how I feel, and every week I will bring you weekly episodes on how to get better mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially so you can have a great mental diet. Welcome back to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, and today I've got round two with Nima Naziri. He is an actor, he's a comedian, and we had an amazing conversation last time. It was March 16th, 2022. We talked about all kinds of stuff. It was episode number 5. Go and listen to it. This is going to be a continuation of that episode. He was getting censored at the time. He probably doesn't even remember that anymore because it's not happening anymore. It's just blowing up now. Welcome to the show, dude. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, man. My favorite Australian. Well, you're Australian, right? Or British. You're British.
Oh, dude, you already fucked it. I'm Australian. Scottish. You know I'm Australian.
My favorite Australian in Vancouver.
I'm such a favorite of his, he forgot where I was from.
I knew it was one of those cheeky cunt places, you know? But no, thanks for having me back. I remember that episode when I was being censored, and it hasn't been as bad as that time, but there still are moments where I feel like still kind of getting a little censored here and there, but
thankfully nothing too bad. I noticed it researching, because I always research guests before I have them on. There's some stuff on your feed that I haven't seen. And I like most of your stuff. I DM you sometimes, and I didn't see some of this stuff, which is, I don't know why. I thought I would engage with your account enough that I would see it. But yeah, we've only got 45 minutes. Let's get into it. I listened to your podcast last time, and it blew my mind because I asked you a question. I said, hey, man, in 12 to 24 months, where do you want to be? And in the last 12 months, back then, you'd never met Gary Vee. He just started following you on Instagram a few months earlier. Since then, you met Gary Vee, hung out with Gary Vee, spoke on a stage at VCon in front of thousands and thousands of people. You also said that, I want to be on a movie or a TV show, and it's 100% going to happen. You fucking did it, dude. You fucking did it.
Yeah, I manifested that shit, man. Honestly, I told you, motherfuckers, man. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but
dude, so we said cunt.
Oh, I mean, I started off with the worst word you could possibly say. So yeah. It's great. Yeah, man, I manifested that from the beginning, as you remember. But also, I think if I'm not mistaken, whenever I do talk about stuff like this, I feel like I always mention that I always manifest things into existence, but I also, it has to come down to you actually taking action too. It can't just be you like, oh, this is gonna happen, and then like hope it happens. I think it constantly, but then I keep doing what I'm doing and I keep trying, you know? Like, you have to keep consistently putting in the work if you're gonna manifest things. Like, otherwise you're just like a basic bitch who just you know, aligns your values with your astrology and it doesn't mean much. But yeah, so yeah, I'm pretty happy that I manifested those things and it happened, and it was better than I expected. So,
yeah, man, I was listening to it at the gym this morning, and I was like, holy fuck, dude, he did these things that he said he was going to do, and like with big people like most people know who Gary Vee is, and to be able to like meet him, have a connection with him, I would say that you're friends now. That's so huge, man. And like when you came to Vancouver, last time we did the podcast, I was like, when you coming to Vancouver? And at that time, with all the COVID mandates, they were still locking everything down. And this was only in March last year. It's weird, man. It feels like it's like this weird kind of dream almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, you were at the show too on my tour.
Yep.
You were there. I remember. Yeah, I think we dapped up.
Yeah, we did. We did. My partner Lexi and I, we went there, and it was sold out, dude. Like you packed the house, you crushed it. I think, was it Ola? Ola was there. Mark.
Ola Dada and Mark Henry Synagoga. Yeah.
They crushed it too. It's just a great night, dude. And I just, I felt so happy. I was like, dude, this fucking guy did it. He's doing it. He's living out his dream. And that's why I did this podcast. I wanted to talk to people that are living out their dream and be like, okay, what can this person do? Whether or not they're in comedy or acting or they're a fighter, I'm going to have some, I'm trying to get a UFC fighter on here soon. Nice. It's going to happen. It's close.
Hell yeah.
All these different things, people living out their dreams, like what can somebody who's maybe not living out their dream, when they're listening to this podcast, what can they get out of it? And the last podcast we did, the title of it was The Power of Consistency. You've been at this for like 8.5 years now, almost 9 years. And only in the past, probably, well, you tell me, like 3 years, it's like a hockey stick.
Yeah.
Like talk to me about that a little bit more, like that consistent fucking work for like 9 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I actually feel like I'm just starting right now. And that's why Gary Vee always talks about, like, I think I'm just starting now. Like, I'm only at the fucking beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says shit like that. But, like, it's true, though. I totally understand that more than ever because, especially with the pandemic, too, there's a couple of years where, like, I wasn't even doing stand-up. I wasn't even, like, I was just doing content, right? As an active comedian, like, who's actually, like, a, you know, working comedian, it's only really been 4 years for me. So, the 9 year mark that's coming up, it's like you almost have to go through those early stages of those like amateur years before you become like, you know, kind of a pro and then a pro and then whatever. Because like if you don't, that's why I don't believe in overnight successes or like, you know, going viral too fast or too quickly. Because if you don't have a solid base, a solid foundation from the years prior, then it's going to be a much bigger struggle for you to keep up with that and to, you know, improve it and elevate it more and more. So, yeah, man, like those first 4 or 5 years of me doing stand-up and making content was garbage, just absolutely dog shit. But if I didn't do that, then I wouldn't be where I am now. And that's why I feel like I'm just beginning. It's just starting because I'm like, I'm just starting to feel the rewards and the effects of putting in that work all those years. And even now, it's like still like it's not as like busy as I want it to be. But, you know, there are certain moments that keep popping in that I'm like, oh, man, this is like crazy that I'm doing this. Right. But this is what I built. Like if I didn't start from the beginning, if I didn't believe that I could do this, then this wouldn't even be happening in the first place. So.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody that's in those first 5 years of whatever their journey is? And like, what do you think the difference is between you and a lot of people that start that and just, because there's a thing, like most people don't get to the pinnacle of success and whatever it is they're doing because they quit or they get distracted. What do you think was the separator for you?
Well, just knowing that I dropped out of college to pursue comedy and acting full time. Like, there, you know how embarrassing it would be to be like, yeah, sorry, guys, like, I'm actually just going to go back to school. Like, fuck that. There's no scenario where that'll ever happen. Because I love it so much. And also because I told myself over and over again that like, I hate school. I don't like going to lectures. I don't want to listen to this person tell me about microbiology and the cells and whatever bullshit's happening. And that I don't want to live this 9-to-5 work life because I'm just working towards my misery rather than, you know, success. And that's what's keeping me from not stopping is knowing that I can't go back. And it's not that like I've ever wanted to go back. I'm just saying it would be just a shame to stop working on this empire at such a young age, at such a young, early stage. So it's not going to happen overnight, like I mentioned. And also it's like, you got to think long-term, like things could pop up in 20 years. 10 years, 15 years, you never know. And it still hasn't happened for me, but I know what's coming. I know it's coming. Just like I manifested the other things we talked about last time. I know it's coming, but I just don't know when. And a direct quote I can take from a book I just read called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which is
one of my favorite books.
I knew you were one of us, man. I knew you'd be a guy who would read that. And there's a quote in there about like when man knows his why, he can bear any how. I'm butchering it probably, but you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
So that's where I see myself is like when you have your why and you know exactly what your purpose is, like you can figure out the rest of everything.
Yeah. What you're saying is it comes down to loving what you do, having a passion for it, and that why behind things. And I think a lot of people, they put their why on something that's external, like money or getting a sick car or like getting lots of chicks, or that won't push you through like the first 4 or 5 years of eating shit. It has to be something internal. And like, what was that why for you? Like you were studying kinesiology, right? And you dropped out of that and you wanted to pursue comedy. That is a hard decision within itself, but there's something that made you do that. And that's what I'm obsessed with. I'm obsessed with like talking about that thing. It doesn't really have a name. I mean, we try and put names on it, the why, the fucking dream, whatever we want to call it. But like, what was that for you? And what was that pull that was so strong? You could call it purpose.
Mm-hmm. It was just having meaning in my life and something that I could take on as my own thing rather than someone telling me what I should do. Right. I didn't want to become someone who's a conformist or, totalitarianism, right? Like Jordan Peterson says, right? Like doing what someone else tells me to do or wishing I'm doing something that someone else is doing. I don't want to do either of those things. I want to do something for me for once because I never did that my whole life. I had no discipline, no structure, no organization. And I would just kind of like chaotically live through my life, just kind of doing what other people think is a good idea for me. And so this is one of those things where I'm like, I took that risk. I made the decision to take the risk to drop out to pursue this. So now it's on me. Now it's my responsibility to take care of it and to grow it.
It's a lot to carry, man. It's a lot to carry, but it's also like, well, what else would I carry? Like
why else? Yeah, what else? It's the reason.
Yeah, like what else would I do? Yeah, that's
and,
huge, man.
Yeah. And also it's like, I don't know, like I'm different. I mean, I feel like I'm one of the, I guess, rare people who end up actually doing this and following their dreams. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it shouldn't be that. I feel like more people should do it, but I'm just saying, I just could not bear doing what everyone else was doing, all my friends were doing. It's just something that I was not happy with and I was not going to tolerate or accept. So it was either this or fucking be miserable and who knows what would happen after years of doing shit I didn't like.
Yeah, it's like, I believe that every person is put here to live out whatever their purpose is, whatever their soul's journey is, whatever you believe, like you are unique. I mean, we call people snowflakes, but they're actually like, there's no other human being that's ever been like you or me. And we're very unique. And a lot of people just like the thought of getting up in the morning and working for like 30 to 40 years, it makes me feel sick. Especially doing something you don't want to do. But some people do that. And that's kind of how the world goes around. Like the people that work at Timmy's or fucking McDonald's or the Savon. Like I'm grateful for them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you are too. But it's like there's something in people like you and people like Gary Vee and there's even people like me where I'm just like, it feels like it's such a strong fuck no to me. It's like, fuck no. No. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no. Yeah, like, what would you say to somebody who's, like, really struggling during that time? And maybe, because here's the thing. Did you ever lose sight of that dream, that feeling? Was there times where you're like, I should go back, or I don't know what to, like, did you ever lose faith?
No, there was never a moment where I was worried about, like, if I would ever make it in this industry. There are doubts, obviously, like, you know, here and there, but, oh, man, am I even a good comedian? Am I funny? And actually, I think that's a good thing because it means that you're self-aware. And if you don't have self-awareness, you can't be a comedian. And that's just specific to what I do. But, I mean, obviously, it can also relate to other avenues as well. But whoever's struggling, I feel like by doing meditation recently as well, I've noticed that, like, when I have those thoughts, it actually, I dash them away much quicker now because I realize it's just a thought. And it doesn't actually like equal, like it doesn't have an actual meaning to me.
It's not you.
It's not me. It's just
you
a thought.
You are not your thoughts. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the whole game, man, is honestly just pushing through. And it sounds cliche, but like you just have to keep like showing up every day. That's all it is. It's more so just the discipline of kind of almost doing the same things every day. And it sounds boring, but it's not boring if you're actually enjoying the process and you know what you're working towards, right? So for me, every day, like having routines now is mandatory, like morning routines, night routines. And that's what's actually taking away all the thoughts of having struggles, because I understand that without organization, without some, you know, order in your day, then you're never going to make it successful anyway. So as long as you're consistent, you have routines and you have your why, then there's no doubt in my mind that eventually something will happen where it'll help you grow. It'll bring you success, money, whatever you're looking for. And that's it. And because most people will give up, will get discouraged by the smallest thing. And my thing is, like, when you get discouraged, those are the moments where you're going to keep doing it and keep trying, because that's when you actually get over that hump and you'll make that growth and that change.
Yeah, I see it as like you hit a little bit more resistance when you're about to break through to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something happens in your life, you're like, man, then all of a sudden if you keep going, you'll break through that next level. Reminds me
definitely
of
the- and,
sorry go
no it actually is something David Goggins talks about too, is like the 40% potential of humans. People usually hit their 40% and they stop, but like, and he's I guess he's talking about fitness, but also like in life in general. And that's how I see it now too. I'm like, there's times when I feel pain in my legs because I'm like, every day I'm exercising and, you know, it's like a mandatory thing for me now. It's like, oh, I feel a pain in my ankle. Like usually myself before, I'd be like, oh, like this is bullshit. Like I'll complain, or like, man, my foot hurts. It would like stop me from actually doing the work. But now I just see it as like, fucking man, it's just a feeling. That's all it is. Just keep going. And then usually like fucking 10 out of 10 times after like a few minutes, the pain actually goes away. So it's like, it was all in my head this whole time.
That's the thing about life. It's actually physical pain, emotional pain, psychological pain. It's all in our mind. Like you ever cut yourself and like, you don't notice you cut yourself until you look at it. Like it could be something on your finger or your ankle.
Yeah.
You don't feel the pain until you look at it. It's like, well, that's interesting. How long ago did that actually happen? It might have been, I cut myself 20 minutes ago.
Right.
It's like that book you're reading right now, man. It has this quote. It said, the last of the human freedoms that can be taken away is somebody's choice to make a decision. Like that's the last thing that they, to choose how they respond in their circumstances. And when I read that book you're reading, A Man's Search for Meaning, it's powerful, dude. Like it's
crazy.
It's nuts. I think everybody should read that book. If you're listening to this, it's the story about a guy who basically, the start of the book was like fucking brutal. His family got sent into a gas chamber. He was in Auschwitz, and he documented the story of something called logotherapy, which is basically the freedom, the last human freedom that we've taken away is the choice to choose how you respond to a circumstance. And have you got to the part where that guy told himself that the war was going to end, and the closer it got to that date, the sicker he got?
Yeah. Well, I finished the book actually 2 days ago.
Oh, cool.
But I remember that part because he talks about there's some men who didn't pull through because of how their mindset was. But then like the ones who did believe that it would end, those are the ones who survived, right? Because it's all about what you tell yourself. And it's like real life example right there, and way more extreme than any of us will probably ever live, to be honest. But yeah, that shit was super powerful. It made me realize like I have no excuses. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I felt grateful.
So awesome.
Grateful for my life. And yeah, we spoke about that last time, that a lot of people that give you shit, like a lot of people that give you like offended because you emulate different cultures, are usually people that don't struggle. And I'm obsessed with, and you even wear a hoodie that says, it says seek discomfort. I've seen you wear it.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the thought of like microdosing suffering every day, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when big things come, say our parents will die one day, they will. That's just life. Like I will get old one day and all my friends will be gone. And things will happen, like big things in life will hit you. But if you're microdosing suffering every day, like you talking about working out, feeling that little bit of pain, the feeling of about before you're about to step on stage, That's microdosing suffering. And if you're not doing that in your life, like, you end up being one of these people with purple hair that is calling Nima Naziri a racist.
Yeah, or bigot, or homophobe, or transphobe, or whatever bullshit's coming my way.
You release,
but hey, man, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to make the jokes.
Dude, it's so funny you say that, because I went on your Instagram and you just released one the other day. Where is it? I fucking love
the
this
progressive
one.
Burger shop, or the
yeah, one? The burger shop, the $27 burger.
Yeah, I
didn't look at the comments. I want to.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh man. The comments, a lot of them are good. There are like people laughing, but obviously there's some haters. The one before that was crazy amount of hate as well, but still a lot of positive ones too. But that's the thing too, is like Gary talks about, is like, you know, I don't see either of them. I don't see the highs or the lows, and you know, positive comments or negative comments, because you believe one or the other, you start believing that that's who you are once again. And you know, it's a reflection on you, but it's not, it's a reflection on those people. As long as you understand yourself and your real present life, that's what truly matters most. You can't get rid of that. Because once you start believing, like, what other people are saying about you, and you start believing that that's you, then you start losing reality, I think. I don't know. Might be a little profound, but...
Yeah, man. I've been obsessed with this thought that, like, your value cannot come from anything external, ever. And that's why meditation, that's why reading books, mm-hmm. that's why everything is spiritual. Like, everything you do is spiritual, like, even down to the meditation, down to exercising, because it's all you. Everywhere you go, you're there. And mm-hmm. if you are taking in things from, like, comments, like, oh, you're fucking so funny, Nimi, you're like, ah, oh, yeah, fucking.
You're a god, yeah.
You're a fucking idiot. You're a racist piece of shit. You're like, am I a racist piece of shit?
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what starts fucking you up. And you said you have disciplines every day, because I think that if you don't have these disciplines, the external world will fuck you up. It'll kick your ass. What are these disciplines? Yeah. Like, what time do you wake up? Let's run us through your day, like a normal day for you.
Yeah, man. And I think at the time when we talked last time, I did not have the same structure as I do. Like, this is like this, because I'm on right now, I'm on day 37 of doing 75 hard. I
don't know. Good for you. Good for you, man.
Thank you. Yeah, my boy Bish, he actually did that for like 2 years straight. I posted about him on my story.
Dude,
he blew
dude.
Up.
Holy,
you know,
fuck.
Have you seen his video? Like, he transformed, man. 160 pounds from a bad guy to literally being jacked now. And
dude, I literally had a tear in my eye watching that. And like Andy Fasella's commenting on it. Yeah. I was like, he's probably one of, like, I would say 100 people in the world that's ever done what he's done. Maybe 10. To be big and to end up where he is now, it's amazing.
It's hard, man. Trust me. Yeah, I know. And that's like, and that's the thing. Like, and he just did his podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just flew him out to do his podcast. Like, all because of he proved, like, yo, man, like, there's no excuses, right? I can do it. You can do it. And so that he is actually the reason why it inspired me to start doing it. And I've already seen crazy changes. And the thing is, doing 75 hard has actually helped me realize a lot about myself. And it's forced me to create these disciplines and these structures for myself, rather than like my brother telling me to do something, or like someone else around me be like, hey, man, you should try this. Like, for once in my life, I've actually figured out stuff on my own, which sounds weird because I'm 28 years old, but it made me realize, like, oh, fuck, like, if I don't take care of my body and my mind right now at 28, then I'm fucked when I'm 30 or 48, whatever. And there were a couple moments when I was on tour, actually, in the States, where it was a big reminder of, like, yo, if I don't take care of myself now, then, like, I'm screwed. And it kind of, like, made me, like, hit a switch. And now I'm at a point where, like, every day I follow the same routine, like the same structure. Like, I wake up at the same times, generally, still working on my sleep, you know, going to sleep at the right time. There's an analogy that I pretty much tell everyone, is like, my whole life, I felt like I was always like sitting on the fence, you know, dipping my toes into this side and that side, because I was scared of like grieving my past self. Because that's usually what a lot of people go through, right? Like in their lives when they're trying to beat addiction. For me, it was food, you know, like social media, even in a, and including a lot of other men, like porn, even. And like, there has to be like a moment of like fundamental change. It can't just be like, I'm in progress. And that's something I've done my entire life, is made progress, but I've never actually made fundamental change. And this is one of those times where I was like, yo, what am I doing? Like, why can't I just fucking like jump from the fence and just run forward? And one of those moments that made me realize that was when I was in New York. I pulled my back, putting on my shorts, my lower back. And I'm not even kidding, out of commission for a week straight. And then up until like this past week, pretty much. And this was mid-April. Up until this past week, I pretty much have just recovered from the shooting pains that have been going down my leg because of me being overweight and letting go of myself and not taking care of myself properly over the span of my life. So that was the moment where I was like, you know what, bro? Fuck this. I'm going to jump off the fence and start running. And that was the day pretty much I started to do like 75 hard. I started to like eat clean, no cheating, fucking, you know, I journal, I meditate. I write sketches every day. I write stand-up material every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take care of my health and my career more than ever. And I think that's only going to happen when it comes from this pen.
Yep. Yeah, there's something that I've noticed in you, even in the way that you communicate, even in the way that you jokes you have, there's an attachment for you. And I think you're probably, you're speaking about it. You have an attachment to being the big guy.
Yeah.
And you've made jokes about it, as in, if I lose weight, I won't be funny anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a point in your life where you actually believed that. That's why you made jokes about it. Outside of selling cars, I'm a transformational coach. So literally I coach people on this shit. Like, it's fucking amazing, dude. And like, the things you're saying right now, it's like, you have realized that there's these attachments you have to the past. And the only way, your brother can't tell you to do it, your mom can't tell you to do it, nobody can help you except you. And when you realize that, I saw this quote the other day and fucking rocked me. It's like, you get to a place in this healing journey, or whatever you want to call it, where you realize the only toxic relationship you had was the one you had with yourself. Just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If somebody is not happy with something about their life, I believe it's because there's some part of them that is not loved by themselves.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're learning to like come, you're banging against that. You're hitting that and be like, okay, like, why am I fucking sitting on this fence?
Yeah.
Like, it's hurting my balls. It's hurting my soul.
Literally hurting my balls. Because I'm getting blue balls from the lack of women in my life. Because I'm not taking care of myself and women don't find that attractive. So that's it, man. Like, like the fat jokes, man. Like, you saw in my set last year.
I did.
Even at that point, like, I wasn't even like fully happy with my body and myself. But, you know, I was just pushing through like I always do. Until I found a way. Now I feel like I found the way. This just this past month or so, and I actually don't see it any other way anymore. I see it as like, this is something I will not do anymore. This is something I will be doing. Like, there's no like guessing. I feel like everything just pushed for me, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, man. Like, if I'm not thriving 100% as a human being, then how can I thrive in my career? And like, I don't want me being fat to be my identity, right? Like, I don't want, because like, that's all I've been doing, and especially with comedy, it's weird because it's like, you know, you want to make jokes about that stuff, but also you hate it. You know what I'm saying? But like, you're almost like too comfortable, and that's what I was talking about jumping off the fence. It's like, I was worried that like, if I lose the weight, I can't make fat jokes anymore. But like, why would I even want to do that? Like, I can't even do the shows properly if I'm injured or if I'm like hurt because I'm fat. So like, what's the point of even doing this in the first place? So instead of like me being the fat guy anymore, I have to identify myself as a woman. No, I'm kidding. You have to identify as like a fit guy in training.
Yeah,
and
it's like
I've been telling myself. Yeah,
James Clear.
You have to tell yourself it. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. And so that's it, man. Like, at some point, you got to like believe that you can be that other person. You can like, you know, you can achieve those goals if you just keep showing up every day. And it's going to take me a while, but like my boy Beach did it, and it's a real life example, right? So like, if he can do it, then I can do it. Like,
and he was much bigger than you. Much, much, much bigger than you. He was
a little bit, yeah.
He was like 500 and something pounds, wasn't he?
No, he was 350, which is where I started.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but still big, obviously, but yeah. Anyway,
that's awesome, man. I can already sense, like, the way you're talking. I mean, I see a lot of what you do. I've watched you stand up. I listen to your podcast. You seem more grounded. Like, you seem like, you even said it, you're like, I found it. And then, it was me all along. I was here the whole fucking time.
For real, bro. I know.
Yeah, it's like, holy fuck, there I am. There I am. Like,
and like, I've been going to therapy too, and that's helped me a lot. I also highly recommend people to do therapy, man. I was kind of against it, like, my whole life. I'm like, I don't need therapy. What the fuck? Well, like, I'm good. But really, you're not, you know. There's a lot of things that you just don't really understand about yourself until you express it to someone who it's their job to kind of get it out of you. But,
it's awesome, man. Yeah, not a lot of men talk about their mental health. And I basically, my podcast is that. I talk a lot about mental health. I talk a lot about, I've done a lot of psychedelic like journeys. I've done a lot of psychedelic ceremonies. I've really gone deep within myself. I used to fucking have crippling anxiety every day. I'd sweat all the time. I had this obsession with money because it made me feel safe because my parents didn't have any money when I was a kid. It was all this stuff from our childhood. And when you start really digging into that, and there's this like buzzword right now called trauma, and everybody talks about trauma. Here's what trauma is. Trauma is not the event. It is what happens inside you because of something. There's blunt traumas like rape, violence, physical abuse, things like that. But then there's complex traumas like this feeling of maybe not feeling like your mom cared about you, or she liked your brother more than you, or your sister more than you. And that happens over years and years and years. But you get to a point where I'm sure you're discovering it. You've been working on it through exercise, through meditation, through all this stuff you're talking about, but you realize that you created those responses. It wasn't the event. You created something in you. And then our job is to rewrite those things. And you're already doing it, dude. Like, I can tell you are. Exactly. I can tell you are.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. That's it. I mean, that you said it right. Like, you have to take control of things you can control and leave everything else out for the universe to decide for you.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to control what you can control.
And that is exercise. Like, a lot of people struggle with tools. Like, what are some tools that have really helped you? I mean, you've already kind of mentioned a few, like reading, meditation, therapy, exercise. Do you have any other tools that have really helped you?
Yeah, journaling. Journaling,
yeah, fuck, sure. That's huge.
Journaling is good, yeah. Like, more general, just having a couple hours in the morning without being ruled by notifications. So
yeah, that's huge.
Like, looking at my phone and looking at social media, like, I've done a pretty good job of pretty much like blocking those things out for the first 2-3 hours of my day. And it's helped me really focus on the writing aspect of like doing my stand-up material or writing sketches, you know, new sketches, or reading or getting my thoughts out. Because that's when your brain is the most like free in the morning. So I like to take advantage of my brain in the mornings when it's like the most, you know, least distracted.
Yeah.
And that's that helps you set yourself up for the rest of your day.
Yeah, there's a lot of science to it too. Like the first hour when you wake up, your brain is very creative. Like, we have dreams just before we wake up, and then if you could take advantage of that creative energy that you've got. Like, I'm sure you've come up with some of the funniest shit you've ever thought of in that time. I bet you have.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially recently. Yeah. Like, the past couple of weeks, like, I'm on a walk, like, in the first, like, hour of being awake. And sometimes I don't even wear headphones or put anything on. I'm just, like, no music, no audio, nothing. I just walk and I go by the lake or wherever I am. And I'll just be thinking. Naturally, I'm not even trying to think. It's just like I let my brain kind of go where it goes. And there's been times where I'm like, oh man, this would be hilarious. Pull on my phone, write it in my notes, keep walking. Oh, here's another idea. Boom, write it in my phone. You know what I'm saying? So That's happened pretty much every time. At least 2-3 ideas has come to my mind. And like, not all of them are great, especially off the jump, but it still like leads to really good ideas eventually.
Yeah, that's and a
that
thing.
Wouldn't happen if I didn't do that stuff in the morning.
No, I think everybody, I call it special time. I have special time with myself every day and in the morning. And I really appreciate it, like spending that time with yourself. And a lot of people listening to this, a lot of people are self-improvement junkies where they read all the books, they go to fucking seminars, and they go to Jordan Peterson when he's in town or whatever. And yeah. I've fallen into that trap. But what Nima just said is just how your muscles work. If you constantly work out 24 hours a day and you don't sleep, your muscles won't actually grow. Your muscles grow when you're resting, just like your creativity comes out when you're going to walk. No music, no nothing, just you. And that's, and like, it's always there. But it's like we're so fucking distracted with scrolling, life, traffic, fucking blah, 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 like constantly, where if you can just take a walk with near some trees, or that lake or a river, it's fucking crazy what happens. The creativity that comes out is huge. So, yeah, man,
being around green and blue,
yeah. I appreciate you going there. I appreciate you talking about like therapy and things like that, because a lot of people need to hear it, because a lot of people see guys like you that are fucking hilarious. It's like, well, there's this quote, I don't know if you've heard it. You can't know the heights of joy until you know the depths of despair.
Yeah.
You can't be super happy and funny unless you've completely felt the opposite way. And that's why most comedians, like you look at people like Bert Kreischer, that dude is fucked up. Like, but he's hilarious. And like, there's a lot of people and they're really sad, but they're also, that's why they're so funny. And they kind of do this dance in life of like fucking miserable, but super funny at the same time. And like most comedians can do that dance and know that feeling. And a lot of people are naive about that, seeing comedians. Oh, he's a funny guy. It's like, yeah, because he's probably felt the opposite.
Some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, and it doesn't, and then sometimes it doesn't have to all be that either. Like that's another stigma of like comedians that I'm trying to break too. Like your life doesn't have to be like miserable to be funny. Like obviously, like there's some comedians where they've had crazy traumas and they're really fun and that's fine. But you know, someone like me, like I haven't had that bad of a life, to be honest. The most trauma I've had, it was more so just within myself. Like nothing bad has happened to me, like some other people, but like I've dealt with fucking, you know, me being fat my whole life, you know, bullied when I was younger a little bit, or like, you know, just like being addicted to food and having addictions to certain things. And you know, the way your mind works, it's like it's still not easy. It's still not, you know, it's not like, it's not the face of trauma, but like, it's still traumatic.
It's suffering.
Like, it's suffering. It's like, even, especially because you can do something about it too, but you don't. That's where it gets, you know, that's where the true juice comes out.
I would argue that's even worse than feeling like you have nothing to do about it. Knowing that you can do something about it, and then feeling like you continue to choose to, it's being trapped. And I
just think like me as a comedian doing all these things to help myself and to become a high performance, almost like a high performance athlete, but just with comedy, like I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Like there's so many things you can make fun, you can make jokes about, you can talk about your past, you can talk about your journey, like. There's just so many better things that will come to your mind to make jokes about. If your mind's actually right, like, it's like, why wouldn't you want to do that? If my mind is working at the most optimal level, why? I feel like because I'm naturally funny, I'll actually come up with better jokes.
You'll be funnier.
And that's the goal. That'll be funny. Exactly.
It's like, well, I don't need to be miserable to be funny. Like I was fucking abundant and happy and everything was awesome and I just loved myself and everything about myself. Imagine like how fucking funny could you be? Like you said, you're already a funny person.
Yeah.
Like you're already funny. It's not attached to anything else. It's just like, you're a funny dude. Like,
yeah, you'll find a way.
How much funnier could you be when you got all this stuff you're talking about? And it's cool, man.
Well, it's like we talked about, right? Like when you're walking in the mornings and you come up with these creative ideas, like that will equal you being funnier, right? But how are you going to do that? By actually taking care of yourself, which is like almost like an oxymoron, right? Like with comedians, but that's a new wave. I don't know. Like I don't want to be a bitter comedian. Like, that's not who I am. I want to be a fucking well off, like kind of happy comedian. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And also, I just don't want to fucking suffer anymore. I don't want to fucking be a fat guy. I don't want to, you know, be addicted to my phone or, you know, watch porn, like stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to actually develop real life, proper relationships with women, with men, with like everybody. I want to, you know, just be able to bend over and not fucking pull my back and have to limp everywhere for 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to take care of myself. And I feel like, especially artists and entrepreneurs, they neglect that more because they kind of rely on their talents or whatever it is to get them through.
Yeah, man. I love what you're saying. So cool. And it's so cool to see you come to that place in yourself. And I think it's going to blow your mind where you are in like 4 or 5 years from now. Like, it's already where you've come so far. And I mean, it sounds like, even in your own words, it sounds like you neglected some of this stuff for a while. And look how far you've come. Like, imagine when you start incorporating all this holistic success. Holy fuck.
Yeah, dude. I know.
It's going to be unreal.
100%. I agree. Yeah, because like I mentioned before, if your day is all chaos, you're going to crash. You're going to burn. And it's happened to me before. But if you just have the structure, man, and you just, it's almost like muscle memory every day. Same things over and over again, and you know what you're working towards, like you'll fucking fast track and you'll just skyrocket from there. There's no doubt about it.
I asked you this question last time. We've got a few minutes left because you got to go. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 12 to 24 months from now? Last time you answered it, I want to be in a movie. I want to be in a TV show. You did that. Like I said at the start of the podcast, you spoke on Gary Vee's stage. You also mentioned something last time, which I didn't say. You said the next person I really want to work with or develop a relationship with is Andrew Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
So in 12 to 24 months from now, where do you want to be?
That's a great question. I definitely want to be in the Rogan podcast. I'm going to get on there. I've been doing some impressions of him, and I feel like he's already seen it. And same thing that happened with Gary Vee is he saw my videos for 2 years before he ever acknowledged me. So he was watching for 2 years. He just wanted to see if I was going to stay consistent. And that's his own words. And then it happened. So I feel like the same thing is happening with Rogan. You know, he's watching, you know. Because Bert Kreischer's commented on my videos. Other comedians who know him have commented. They've probably shown him my videos. So being on Rogan will happen in the next year. I will be in New York. I'll be living in New York. That's actually a plan to go and live there and grind out comedy over there. And also, more so just to work on the next tour I'm doing at the end of 2024. It's going to be a much bigger tour than the last one that you saw. It's going to be Canada-wide and US-wide. Bunch more cities. Bunch more shows. And then, yeah, I would love to book a good role in either a TV show or a movie again. So, like, bigger and better than the last one I did.
I believe you. I don't have any doubt that any of these things are going to happen because your Joe Rogan impersonation is absolutely on point. I actually think it's one of your best ones you ever done. Like, because it's like him, dude. Like, if you close your eyes and listen to the way that, like wow. He does that, man, because he's stoned out of his mind.
Wow.
It's good, man. I watched the David Goggins one and him on the podcast, and you got the bald cap on, kind of like my haircut.
Hey, let's go. That's it.
And I was like, fuck, that's good, man. And I hope he sees it. And if he shares tattoos that people get done of him, it's only a matter of time, dude. It's only a matter of time he shares your shit. And if he shares your shit, he has the biggest fucking audience in the world with podcasting and... Dude.
I know it's going to happen. And also, I definitely feel like I'll work with Andrew Schultz too, 100%.
I was thinking about that when you were saying
it. He already knows who I am.
Because you guys have, I didn't realize this until I listened to the podcast an hour ago. You got very similar styles of humor. You both make fun of different types of people, but they all love you because of it. Like, he says some savage things, and like, it's like, whoa. Like, that would be racist, but it's not racist when he says it, because it's out of love, and he loves them. He knows about their culture, and he's doing it from knowing. He knows things they say. Even his, like, I see you working with him, man. So, we've run out of time. I really appreciate you coming on again. You're a different man this time. You've grown so much since last time, and I love watching your journey, dude, and you really inspire me. So thank you very much.
Man, thank you, man. Very, very kind words. And I appreciate you having me on. And I'll see you again in Vancouver, man, for the next tour when I come back.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. We'll see you next time, man. I'll talk to you, who knows, next year, a year from now.
Yeah.
And we'll compare.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Once again.
Let's get it.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. If you found any value at all, please share this with a family member or a friend, or just a guy or a gal walking down the street, just anybody at all, if you feel like it could help them and benefit them from the conversations that we're having. It would mean the world to me if you could also leave a review. It helps grow the show. It helps the algorithms. And I also do love connecting with my listeners, so please reach out to me on social media. The best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Aaron Lynch Potter, and that's spelled AHRENLYNCHPOTTER. Thank you so much once again.